from Square 2, this is What's Wrong with Revenue. I'm Mike Lieberman, CEO at Square 2, and along with my longtime friend and business partner, Eric Kalis, this show answers the question many CEOs, CMOs, CROs, and business owners are asking, what's wrong with revenue? New shows drop every Thursday morning. You can find the video version of the show on YouTube at the Square 2 Marketing Channel, on our website at the What's Wrong with Revenue page located in the footer, or on our free streaming service, Square 2 Plus, both located at square2marketing.com. You can subscribe to the show or subscribe to Square 2 Plus, and we'll email you new show content as soon as it's published. You can also submit questions to the show on the What's Wrong with Revenue page of our website. Eric and I answer questions every single episode. You can also find the podcast version of the show on all your favorite podcast platforms. Enjoy the show. Everybody, welcome to season 2, episode 13 of What's Wrong with Revenue. I'm Mike Lieberman, CEO at Square 2. I'm joined by my longtime friend and business partner, Eric Kalis. Eric, say hi.
Hello.
Eric is back from one of his many adventures on the Appalachian Trail. We should try to work some stories into this episode, right?
Hashtag no bears.
Do you have any like interesting anecdotes or stories that you could circle back around to our content for today?
Yes, you have to have patience to get up a 4,400 foot mountain.
All right. That sounds good. Awesome. So episode 13, we're going to talk about this is the major question that everybody asks us. How long does it take for a revenue generation system to produce results? So why not dig in and really share some timing and expectations around a revenue generation system like RGS? Let me handle our housekeeping. Big news for Square 2, this is the first show that will feature our new website. So while the What's Wrong with Revenue page will be available in our footer, it's not available yet. So I'll give you guys good direction on how to get access to this episode. So the Square 2 YouTube channel, you can head on over to Square 2 Marketing's YouTube channel. All of the What's Wrong with Revenue shows are hosted there. You can like it, you can subscribe to it, and you can leave us comments. We will continue to post show content on our YouTube channel. The show is available on our free streaming service, Square 2 Plus, located on our website. It is actually extremely easy to find Square 2 Plus on the new Square 2 website. So when you go over there, you'll be able to see all of the audio and video content that Square 2 produces, including What's Wrong with Revenue. All of our episodes will be posted on Square 2 Plus. We will have a What's Wrong with Revenue page on the website. Once it's up, I'll let everybody know. And just like previously, you can go to it. You can subscribe to the show directly. You can ask questions right there, and Eric and I will handle them. I am planning on doing some questions today to catch up on some of the questions that have been submitted, but that page will be up shortly. And last but not least, if you're a fan of podcasts and audio content, our show is on all your favorite podcast platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple. Go check it out, and you can subscribe to the show there as well and listen to our show in an audio format. So Eric, it's the $1 million question. When will we see results? It's the question everybody wants to know. It's the answer that we are elusive in providing, and for very good reasons. First, you know, like, who knows? How hard are they going to work? How much are they willing to invest? How many changes are they planning to apply? You know, how good are they at taking advice and guidance? How good is their story? How rich is their content? How helpful is their website? There's just so many components that go into this answer, how long it's going to take, including really important questions that we're going to get to in a little bit. So in this episode, we're going to go deep on the question. We'll try to answer it for you as best we possibly can. We'll give all of our audience members the insight required to answer the question on their own. Maybe it's more of a question that you have to answer for yourself. Like, I want to lose weight. How long is it going to take? Well, how committed are you going to be to your diet? If you're going to kill it and work out every day, it's going to be faster than if you work out once a week. So perhaps this isn't a question for us, but a question for all of you. Some of the things we're going to cover today: how to mitigate the risks that might delay expected results, how to ensure you get results faster than maybe you thought you could, how to estimate how long it's actually going to take to the best of your ability, how to align investment with the timing of expected results, and then we'll also share some unknowns that typically come up and unexpectedly cause delays in expected results. So, Eric, I know you've answered this question probably 10 million times, but see if you can kick us off. How long does it take for a revenue generation system to produce results?
Yeah, you're right about that, because it's a common question. Everybody's like, sounds great. When will this all happen? And I think your earlier comment is truly the essence of the exercise here, right? How bad do you want it? And that's a big question, because I have literally worked with hundreds, if not a thousand different companies and their leadership teams. And every one of them has their own unique culture, how fast they respond. Do they work on the weekends? Is it an emergency situation, or is everything very calm and smooth running? And I think that when you snap a baseline of where you are today, and then you set a goal of where you want to be, the delta or the difference between the two is all about effort and desire. It's really not about investment, because you can really drive a lot of activity without spending a lot of money on quote unquote advertising. But no matter what, if you're listening to this podcast called What's Wrong with Revenue, you have some kind of challenge. And I think the question is, how can you motivate yourself and the team around you to drive to that vision that you have of what your what will make your company successful? So, for example, today I was on the call with a prospective client, and they said, you know, I really like what you guys have to say, but I don't really have a large budget. I said, well, there's a lot of things that you can do without investing a lot of money. One is change your story. Second is add some content. And I don't mean like, you know, expensive 50-page paradigm shifting white papers. Throw a couple videos on your website to explain why you're different than the other folks. And then he said, well, we really like to go after CFOs. I'd like to have more of them to talk to. I said, start a LinkedIn paid campaign and offer a piece of content. Spend a few $100s a month, not tens of thousands on a big campaign, and start to get some results and watch what's going on. And the question I put to him is, do you have time in the next 30 days to lean into some of these suggestions? Because if you do, you could literally start getting some advancements in your lead gen and revenue generation in the next 30 to 45 days. But if you're too busy and, you know, you take Tuesdays off and your team is not used to being pressured or working anything besides what they do on a day-to-day basis, well, you might not expect the same results as if you're really ready to blow it up and you know, reconfigure your marketing strategy. So that's kind of the, you know, therapeutic answer to the question is, how bad do you want it? And, you know, bringing that back to something like weight loss or stop biting your nails or things like that, you got to want it bad in order to do that. And if you don't want it bad, well, it's just going to take a lot longer.
How did they respond to your therapy?
He said, can we stage it? I said, well, what are you thinking? He said, well, I'd really like to get my story down and I'd really like to have my differentiators. He said, I've been in business 14 years. I have about 50 clients. At this point, it seems to me I should have 500. I said, well, one of the biggest triggers of that is every time you talk to someone new, we got to get your close rate up, because he does have opportunities, but he's only closing, according to him, 10% of the deals that he pitches. I said, a great story and a way to differentiate yourself from the competition would probably get your close rate up to 20% pretty quickly. And from 10 to 20%, that's doubling the revenue simply by working on the strategy part of the six-part RGS system. So, you know, we were having a laugh, you and I, the other day when we were talking about our level 10 meeting and how we were having it through the team. And we said, God, we have five teams. And if everybody made two advancements a week times 52, that's 104 times five teams would be 520 improvements over the course of the year, just by putting the process in place to meet every week and break open some of these obstacles that are in our way of growing our company. And we're starting to feel that, because now our issues list is less. We're starting to do better quarterly objectives. We're really starting to make some traction. This is now April. We've already hit the April revenue number. We're working on May. Like, things are really going well, but we were one of the kinds of companies that when we started EOS back in the day, we're like all in. We're getting everybody, we're training, we're giving people time to learn the materials, to practice the meetings, to sample some of the things, and we're just going. Now, I would think that, you know, there's a big spectrum. Let's call it one, I'm a turtle. Two, I'm a panther. Most companies are in the middle of there, right? Five. So based on that, then you should expect average to good results if you're a typical company. You want to be a panther and run like the wind? Yeah, you could probably get results in 30 to 60 days.
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, and I know we've talked about this a gazillion times over the years, but like, there's something that prevents people from doing a lot of this on their own, right? Like you said just a couple minutes ago, like, you can fix your story. You can fix your differentiation. You can write a little piece of content. You know, you don't have to be an expert at paid LinkedIn campaign to get one out. You can do a little research. You could do some, look at some best practices. You can set it up yourself. Like, but people don't do it, right? They, it's almost like they need some extra boost, or they need someone to do it for them. I'm just curious, after all this time doing this, what do you think it is that really prevents them from like taking that first step on their own? Because like, this isn't rocket science. Like, it just takes follow the recipe basically, right? But most people are still hesitant to take that first step and do this on their own, which I think is where we come in, right? They'd almost rather hire us to do it for them so they can kind of direct us and maybe not even be necessarily as responsible as we are about it. But why don't they just do a little bit of this on their own to get started?
I think it comes down to pain, right? You know, if you look at most companies, they make money, right? Yeah, some companies go out of business, but most companies that we talk to or work with make money. They could be making 5% net profit. They could be making 25% net profit, but they make money. The owner gets paid. Everybody gets paid. They have enough to keep the lights on and the rent. If that's the case, then you don't have pain, right? And plus, remember, there's other things distracting you. Yeah, I'd like to sit down with a cup of coffee at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night and think about my message and read some materials about how I could differentiate myself. But I have to take my kid to soccer practice and now I'm kind of tired. And you know what? There's that new Ted Lasso episode that just dropped. And before you know it, it's the end of the night and you don't have the energy or the time to do it. But if you have either a burning desire inside, right? And you're like, I am not achieving the results that I anticipated with this business, and I'm willing to do anything, run through brick walls if necessary in order to get to this vision, then you're going to take that time and say, I have to carve out between 6 and 8 o'clock on Tuesday night because that's when I'm going to work on my messaging. Maybe because they don't have time during the day. Or there's a resource conversation, right? Oh gosh, if I hire someone to do it for me, and that's going to be, I don't know, pick a number, $5,000 a month. Well, that's going to take away from my profit, and my profit is fine. And I get to do all the things I want. And I just got a new pontoon boat and my wife's family's taking me on vacation and life's pretty good. And I have the freedom because I run my own business. So I maybe don't have to do all this extra stuff. And that's where I think it really comes down to, is what's your pain level? Now, the challenge is that when you wait too long and now you're in a negative position, you've tapped your line of credit and you are not getting any sales opportunities, you don't have the resources to now lean into that by getting some outside help or hiring an extra person. So that's the rock in a hard place. The place to do it is when you do have a little bit of bandwidth and you do have a little bit of time and you do have that marketing person to help you. And that way you can pick away at it without it being urgent. It's always going to be important, but urgent or not urgent, or painful or not painful, is my point here. And that's where I see a lot of business owners. And I'll never forget, years and years ago, we pitched a big company, $50 million manufacturer, and we didn't do a good job of asking questions and really listening too well. And we did a nice, I don't know, $75,000 proposal to that company. And the owner pulls me aside and he goes, look, this is a third generation family business. We make money in and out every day. We don't need to spend $75,000 and we don't need to do it right now. Put me up something so that I can pick away at this. And while it's a leisurely process, that over the next year, I can improve my marketing. Because what I remember about that is I said to myself, this prospect has no pain whatsoever. Now, they were savvy enough to invest some of their extra funds over a long period of time at a reasonable pace to stay ahead or maybe even jump over some of the competition, but there was no pain. And I misread that situation thoroughly, because I'm just assuming everybody has the pain to get their business to the next level and make more money and drop more profit and hire more people and buy more machines. But that's really where I made the mistake, because not everybody has the pain necessary in order to, once again, run through a brick wall and do whatever it takes to get their company to the next level.
Yeah, and run through a brick wall, like it's a bit of a metaphor, right? I mean, they don't have to stay up till 12 o'clock at night. They could decide to invest some money and hire someone who maybe is more comfortable doing this than they are, or work with an agency like us to carry the ball for them, right? But they're still committing to that investment, whether it's their time at night or their money during the day. Right. And I think,
well, yes and no,
EOS would even, well, they would, you know, the EOS methodology would even like encourage you, like, if this is important to you, you have to do something about it, right? You have to take some action in some area. Hiring someone could be the action you need to take if that's appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, there's a side or adjacent conversation to the box checking scenario we talk about, right? Well, not only do you have to say, you know what, this year we're going to invest our money in a marketing agency and they're going to help fix up our messaging and fix up our tactics and our website. And we're going to get some campaigns running. We're going to grow our business. And that's good. But when you hire the company, well, you still have to do the work, right? They're going to send you things to review. You have to have conversations, maybe a little research. The marketing company might say, talk to 10 of your clients and ask them what makes you such a good company to work with. Like, things you just got to do. And that's where you have to not only check the box, but really engage with whatever the initiative that you've decided, internal, external, contractors, do it yourself at night, whatever it might be, you got to follow through. And that's where I think a lot of companies don't want to do it. They'll spend $5,000 for a month or two and they'll be like, oh, this is a lot of work. You know what? Let's suspend this engagement. And then they're in the same place they were before and they're out two payments of $5,000 each.
Right. Which is kind of the diet scenario, right? Went on a diet for 2 months. I didn't stick on it. I actually gained all the way back plus, right?
Yep.
Everybody can relate to that. So I get it. You know, if I'm going to bust it, I can see results in, you know, a month or so. Like, I understand that. But it's not really typically what I think they're asking about here, right? They're asking about, you know, if I install this system and run it the way you're suggesting, typically, you know, how long is it really going to take for me to get through the strategy portion of it, really understand the things you've been talking about and set up the tactics the way they need to be set up, whether I do it or someone on my team does it, not relevant. Like, how long is that part of the system going to take before they can get to the part where it's producing some results, right? Like, I always say the machine is chugging to life. Like when would that be that they would be like, okay, it's working. We got a lead from our website and, you know, oh, we got two next week. Like, when does that start to happen?
Yeah. Let me paint a picture of what the Square 2 revenue generation system implementation feels like. And I think that might be help some of our listeners and viewers, like, kind of understand. So you have a kickoff meeting. In the kickoff meeting, it's all about setting up the weekly revenue team meeting, because you got to have that as your process base in order to do all this other stuff. So that's relatively easy. And within 3 or 4 of these meetings, your team will start to feel comfortable in this format. Now, during the course of those meetings, as we've talked about in earlier episodes, you have 60 of the 90 minutes working on IDS, identifying, discussing, and solving issues or problems that are in your way of doing that. So after 3 or 4 meetings, your team has started to break open a few problems and maybe you're starting to get some better results in certain areas. Now, parallel to the process, as your team is getting that nice rhythm down from a weekly basis, you have your first boot camp. And the first boot camp talks about your story, your message, your differentiation, who you're targeting, what problems they have. Conversations that typically companies don't have. They know who their clients are, kind of, but they never really lock it down and start to develop a strategy that is centered around who they want to aim their marketing at. So after the first 30 days, the first of 2 boot camps is completed. And now you have a completely different story. Now you have 3 or 4 differentiators that you could go to market with. You have a clear idea of who you're targeting and just as well who you're not going to target. So things start to gel from a strategic sense. But still, that's just a lot of conversation. In the second month, you're having the second strategic boot camp, right? So now you're finishing the strategy with things like, how do we have to enhance our website? And what content do we have to create? And what's our SEO and paid campaign strategy? And what technology do we need to fill some gaps? So now this is like the second month. Now things are still getting done internally, but, you know, we're kind of fixing or laying in the foundation. We have the process done, slice of the pie number one. We have the strategy done, slice of the pie number two. We've started to fix some of the things with our 30-day sprints of like fix our website, create some content, create an email nurture, things like that. And now you're kind of in the third month where things are starting to gel. In the fourth month, you start to work on campaigns. Now you're actually going out and doing some things to attract new buyers or sell some stuff to your existing clients. So a Wake the Dead email campaign might be triggered, a LinkedIn paid campaign, posting on social. You might have your team go outbound and attack 200 companies that you want to do business with, but you've never introduced yourself to. A lot of activity, but still no results yet because everything's kind of kicking in and starting to sputter to light. But around the 5th to 6th month, now you start to get some results because your team is still breaking open problems. Now your campaigns are generating some initial conversations. You're starting to take those initial people through the sales process. Now some of your existing clients are like, oh, I didn't know you sold that. Yeah, I'll take some of that. Now some revenue's coming in from your existing customer database. And around the 6 month mark, now you're starting to get some consistent results. But it's all just fixing all the stuff that you should have been doing all along. From months 6 to 12, now you can really start to do some campaigns, leverage or lean into your technology to scale and automate things that you didn't have before so you can reach more people in a very one-to-many approach. And then finally, you'll have a little strategy about how to use resources, right? Should I lean into my internal people? Do I need more? Should I get some outside agency help? What about some contractors to fill in some gaps? And just between the 6 and 12 month mark, that's when things start to really come to life from a revenue generation perspective. Now, it's all new, right? Your team is experimenting. Your team is having rich conversations around this new way of approaching revenue generation. So when you really start to throw some gasoline on the fire is from month 12 to 24. Now your team understands the process. All the pieces is in place. You're 80% proficient in all 6 pieces of the pie. And now you start to get a bit of hockey stick. Now, you still have to have some resources. You have to have some budget. You got to have some people that are willing to participate. But assuming that those things are in place, starting in the 12th month and on, that's when our clients really start to see some excellent growth results.
Yeah, I think that's a very common scenario. I think, you know, you're kind of being a little modest in terms of like how it could potentially like roll out for somebody. We've had just as many scenarios where we help them upgrade their story and their salespeople start telling their new story. And, you know, they see some immediate lift in terms of ability to attract prospects and close prospects faster and more frequently. So, you know, we've seen campaigns launched in the first couple months that produced far better than expected results, right? So I think you're being a little modest in terms of setting the bar, honestly, but you know, there's all kinds of scenarios that can potentially play themselves out to produce results in an unexpected way in a shorter amount of time.
Well, I think your point is well taken, and I am trying to be very conservative in trying to explain it because and nobody's going to say, you told me it's going to take 12 months and it took me 6. What's wrong with you? It doesn't work that way. Everybody's happy, right? But what I will say is that most of the companies that are appropriate for installing a revenue generation system haven't done much to that point. So think about it. If you have a great strategy, if your tactics are sound, you started some campaigns, you leaned into some resources, you started to meet once a week, how could you not get better results than before where it was either non-existent or ad hoc?
Right. Yeah. It's kind of back to the diet again, right? Like maybe you don't work out every day, but if you watch what you eat, you're going to lose a lot of weight. Not as much as if you worked out every day, but just eating more, being more aware of what you're eating and eating healthier, it's going to produce some results.
Or right? How about this? Every day you came home, you plopped down on the couch, but now you started that I cannot watch TV unless I walk 2 miles after dinner, right? Well, just by that act alone of like changing your habits. And it's the same with business, right? Hey, every week we're going to meet and we're going to have a conversation about what's standing in our way of driving more revenue. If you just did that and forget about everything else in the revenue generation system, you're going to get better results.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. I know we use it frequently, but it's just too good to not talk about. Everyone can relate to that. So let me ask a question. What do you think... obviously, there's a lot that goes into we've done so many of these. There's a lot that goes into getting clients' results, right? What do you think some of the mitigation techniques could use to eliminate or shut down some of the risks associated with delayed results? Like what can they do to prevent the program from gaining traction more slowly than we're talking about?
Yep. I think the first thing, which is from personal experience of working with the team at Square Two, and like I said, hundreds of clients, is client team buy-in. And what I mean by that is that there's too many people like, well, we've never done it that way, or that's not the way we talk about our business. And I think that the successful RGS clients have engaged their team to understand that we're all in this together and we're all going to prosper when our company gets to the next level. And I don't just mean monetarily, right? We're going to have more clients. We're going to have better clients. We can hire now an extra set of hands to help us. Like a lot of good things come with additional revenue activity. The best clients engage the team from the beginning. The best clients educate their team and ask us for lots of resources to support that education of their team. There's some open and honest conversation. Hey, I'm a salesperson. I'm uncomfortable with the new story. And the leadership says, give it a try. Let's see what happens. There's no risk here whatsoever. We cannot fail. So I think that team buy-in is the biggest mitigation of risk, because think about it. You have all these different people in your organization, and every one of them is slightly pulling on the rope in their own direction. If we could harness that power and get everybody pulling on the rope in the same direction, it's now becomes an exponential increase in the power that our team has to drive this new strategy and tactical program. So without a doubt, it would be team buy-in as number one. And I think the second one is appropriate funding. And what I mean by that is that people don't know how to put together a budget for sales and marketing. They know how to hire salespeople. They know how to buy advertising, but they don't know how to put together a budget that will encompass everything you need to do to fill the gaps or eliminate problems or lean into certain areas where the data shows things are going better. So I would think appropriate budgeting would be the second mitigation. If you start a new ice cream shop, you don't use the last few dollars in your savings account to open up the ice cream shop to just hope that everything will be great. You say, well, my family has $1 million in savings, so I'm going to take $100,000 of that. I'm going to put it in a separate account. And that $100,000, it's $5,000 for the first month's rent, and I need $10,000 in materials, and I need to hire people for $20,000. Oh, gosh, still I have a $60,000 buffer in case something goes wrong or I have to take advantage of something or blah, blah, blah. And I think what happens is a lot of people are like, yeah, we'll try it for $500 a month. We'll allocate $1,000 a month, when they really should say, I want to give this program the best chance of success, so I'm going to overfund it so that I have that buffer. And then whatever I don't spend can go back into the savings account or invested in other areas of the business. So I think under calculation of what it would take to ride that first year or less, as you said, to make sure that I don't have to worry. Now, you know, from my bio that I've started many businesses, and I used to start them on a shoestring, and that was really painful when something unexpected came up. But now, if I'm estimating that a new business is going to take $100,000 to get off the off the ground, I'm putting $200,000 in the account, and I'll say, well, 6 months from now, if everything goes to plan, I'll take back some of my original investment and put it in someplace else. But I don't have to worry about it, and I don't have to run it right to the edge. I can make sure that, okay, well, that sounds like a good opportunity. Let's jump on that. And you know what? Here's a rock star team member that I could get on a part-time basis that'll help me with that. I can move quickly, and I can use my cash to really put the puzzle together appropriately so that I start to generate some revenue and start to grow the business. And it's the same thing with the marketing program, right? The people that just don't say unexpected things come up and I'm going to have patience and all the things that happen in business, when they don't anticipate that, I think that is a big risk to getting the success you're looking for in your marketing program.
I mean, underfunding is typically what causes most businesses to go under, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think underfunding and no plan. I got my hair cut yesterday, and the hairstylist said, well, what do you talk about when you talk about marketing? Because she had asked me, or first she said, why are you getting a haircut? I said, oh, I'm speaking gig. I want to look good. And then she said, what do you speak about? And I said, I speak about strategy mostly. And she says, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, you know how you bake a cake? you got to have a recipe. Most people that start a business, they don't have a recipe. They just jump right into baking a cake. And that she understood quite clearly. So I said, you know, if you bake a recipe and that recipe is tasty or delicious or different than anything else, you're going to have success. And when I was in the salon, it's called the Man Cave, and it's specifically for men. And as soon as you walk in, they're like, would you like a beer? Now, I got my hair cut at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I did not have a beer, but she offered me a bottle of water. There was some cool rock and roll playing. There was some cool, like, what do you call it? Mug shots of Frank Sinatra, you know, very manly. And I said, look, and it's a multi-location operation. So I said, look at the people that own your place. They said, we're going to cater to men. It's not going to be the cheapest, but it's not going to be the most expensive. We're going to have some like free prizes inside, like a free beer. We're going to decorate the place so men feel comfortable and women don't, right? Because we know who our target market is. I said, they had a plan. And then I said to her, do you have any stylist friends that open up their own hair salon? Oh yeah, absolutely. How many of them made it more than a couple of years? Oh, not too many. And I said, it's not because they're not good stylists. It's because they didn't have a plan or something that differentiated their salon. And honestly, it was a really rich and interesting conversation about exactly what we're talking about. Like, you got to have the plan. You got to have like a, well, the plan also has to be financial, and the plan also has to have buy-in from the team. Like, how am I going to engage my team in this? Now, when you look at the Man Cave, I don't want to be sexist, but the stylists are appropriate for the people that are coming in. They're, you know, catering to, I don't know, 30 to 60 year old men, whatever that is, right? And I said, like, this is all part of the master plan and you're bought in. You know, when you started working here, you're going to cater to a men only crowd. And you were okay with that. They got your buy-in on that. And she was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. I wanted to work in a place that was kind of fun and, you know, whatever. So my whole point being is that when you look at, I have a plan, I don't have a plan. I have the right funds, I don't have the right funds. I talked to my team and I got the right team to buy in and I did it. All of those are those factors that you can start to think about before you implement a revenue generation system to lessen some of the risk of it succeeding.
Yeah, and I think having those three things is going to definitely produce results faster, right?
100%.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is how can you ensure fast results? Well, that's how you ensure you're going to get results faster than not having those things, right?
100%.
The other thing we got to do is you got to find another way to describe that place you're getting your haircut. Salon is just not, it's just not the right, like, now, right? Barbershop?
I think they kind of nailed it with Man Cave.
Right. Yeah. That sounds like a place. Do they have a location up here?
I don't know, but if our listeners are listening, the one I went to is at Delray Beach, Florida.
Shout out to the Man Cave. All right, that's awesome. Eric, I promised the audience we'd answer some questions today, and I have a handful here. So let's try to rattle through these in the next 10 minutes or so. All right. This is from Pete in Kansas City, Missouri. What issues might companies considering a revenue generation system be experiencing? So, like, he wants to know what's going on in his company that might make them a good fit for a revenue generation system.
Well, one would be inconsistent or intermittent results, right? We hit the number 1 month and 2 months went by and we didn't hit the number. And then we hit the number again. And, you know, our numbers aren't trending up. Like, that kind of like either plateau or diminishing on the key metrics that are going on in your business is absolutely an indicator. Now, the challenge is not enough businesses are managing their KPIs or key performance indicators. So even a step before that, Pete from Kansas City, is make sure you've selected 5 to 7 key performance indicators specific to your business, and let's watch them for a couple of months. Website traffic, database size, a number of sales opportunities, close rate, right? Average engagement size. All of those are very simple metrics that you can export out of either Google Analytics, your accounting software, and let's start to watch them. Now, if you're having a weekly revenue team meeting, then the ones that are appropriate to generating revenue are already on the agenda. So let's take 5 minutes and look at them. And if any of them are not performing to expectations, we'll drop them down and talk about them in an issue. So that would be the first thing, would be intermittent or inconsistent results would be the first indicator. The second one, which is back to what your comment, Mike, is a low close rate. And I think this is something that is glossed over in a lot of businesses. Why would you say, I'm going to do all this work to pitch 10 different accounts and I'm going to be happy just closing one of them? And people like are happy with a 10 or 12 or 15% close rate.
A good B2B close rate ranges anywhere from 33 to 50%. So if you don't have a good close rate, it probably comes down to either your sales process being unremarkable, your story being unremarkable, no differentiation from you versus the other folks. So they might as well take the other guys who are a little cheaper than you. And those are also symptoms of not being ready for a revenue generation system, because we're going to fix that close rate and the story and the who you're targeting in the first 60 days when you engage in a revenue generation system.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of the people we talk to, even some of the metrics you threw out there, are still a little difficult for them to get their hands on. I think if you're, Pete, if you're looking for like an even better indicator, if the company's not hitting its sales targets on a regular basis, and by that I mean like 10 out of 12 months, I mean, if you're struggling every single quarter, if you can't piece together a couple of months of hitting sales goals, if you hit it, miss it, miss it, hit it, miss it, miss it, hit it, hit it. Like, if you're not consistently hitting those revenue goals, then I think you need to do something different. And you probably need a more systems approach to what different looks like than maybe the random acts of marketing or the random acts of sales improvement that you might have been doing. It obviously isn't working. I don't think anyone should settle for that sporadic goal attainment that I think a lot of companies do end up settling for. Oh, we'll do it next month. The pipeline's strong, and then the month comes and you don't hit it. Okay, well, we tried our best. You know, we'll try it again next month. Like, if that is a story that you keep repeating, and look, we named this show for a reason. If you're asking yourself, what's wrong with revenue? Like, we just can't hit our number on a regular basis. Like, that to me is like the biggest indicator, right? That you might need to do something different, and you might need to try a system like this.
100%.
Okay. I got a good question. It's from Peggy in California. Is there a key role we should be thinking about at our company to take advantage of a revenue generation system?
Well, so there's two ways to answer that, right? You could do it leadership level, or you could do it at departmental level. I think that every single company needs what we call a rainmaker. And the rainmaker role is the person who's both accountable and responsible for hitting that number. So back in the old days, you might call that person the vice president of sales and marketing, right? Chief revenue officer. But rainmaker makes it a little bit simpler. That rainmaker only has one job, is to make sure we're hitting that number. So if the rainmaker is not experiencing the consistent results that we talked about in the last question, then that person is doing everything in their power to either create a system, fix the system, enhance the system, get the right people in order to do that. So number one, at the highest level, everybody should be a rainmaker. Should have a rainmaker. Now, sometimes the owner of the company is also the rainmaker if they like selling, right? Sometimes the lead salesperson is the rainmaker, but then you leave marketing to the side, which it should be perfectly aligned sales and marketing. So, you know, the rainmaker is really the top of the food chain when it comes to revenue generation. But then at a departmental level, you need three representatives, and that's another challenge. You need someone representing sales, someone representing marketing, and someone representing customer service, where we could upsell and cross-sell our existing clients more services. So you must have those three people as well in order to have a healthy look at what's going on. You know, clients come to us all the time, need to generate more leads. Do you want more leads or do you want more revenue? Oh, we want more revenue. What are you doing to attack your existing customer base? Oh, we send our quarterly email newsletter and that's it. It's not enough. Someone's got to be saying, how can we sell more to our existing clients on a daily basis? So if you have your rainmaker position nailed and representatives from sales, marketing, and customer service, Peggy, that's where I would start when I'm thinking about a structure of what my revenue generation system team should look like.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And just like EOS kind of identified these new roles with new vocabulary, the visionary, the integrator, and really defined what those two people need to be doing and how every company needs a visionary, every company needs an integrator. It kind of unlocked it for a lot of people, like, oh, you're right. Like, the reason we've been struggling is I'm the visionary. I don't have an integrator. I don't want to do those integrator things. I've been kind of limping along with a bunch of people trying to do that integrator work. Now you're calling it something, you're putting a box around it, you're really defining it for me. And I get it. I need someone in my company to do this list of things, this integrator role, right? Well, I do this visionary thing, which are the things I like to do. And obviously, just as important, the company needs a visionary, just like it needs an integrator. You're now saying there's a third role that is mandatory for growth, and that is the rainmaker, right? There are things that the integrator isn't doing or doesn't want to do, things that the visionary doesn't want to do or isn't doing, that this rainmaker role has to be accountable for, has to be responsible for, and they have to be working on those things every single day to round out this team of people helping this company move forward.
Well, only if the company is experiencing challenges generating revenue.
Because, or want to grow. Or
want to grow, exactly.
Right? You've said many times, like, companies are, maybe they're happy with what they're doing and everyone's making money and there's no need to like overturn the apple cart and really try something different. That's fine. You don't need a rainmaker, right? Maybe you don't even need an integrator. What you're doing just happens to be working well. But if growth is on the menu and you have some really aggressive growth goals and you've been struggling to grow, then I think looking at this third role, I love how the triangle now comes together, vision, integrator, and rainmaker, you know, that might be what's missing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, there's a really wonderful like a family-owned supermarket here in Delray Beach, and the place has been around for like 50 years or whatever. And you know, day in and day out, they do a wonderful job of merchandising. The food is fresh and delicious. There's no need for a rainmaker. You don't need an integrator. You need an owner who's just making sure that everybody's following the processes that Grandpa Bodner put into place years ago. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's okay. They should not be listening to this podcast. They are okay. But for the right company that's like, man, we're at 2 million and we really should be at 5 million by this point. Like, what's in our way? This is exactly the conversation they should be having.
Right. That's really great. And with that, let's wrap up for the show today. That was really helpful. Talked about timing and when we can expect results. And that's really what I wanted to accomplish today. So that's great. Thanks, Eric. Just to remind everybody, next week, episode 14, we're going to talk about using boot camps and workshops to accelerate results. So again, if you're looking to get results faster, there are some ways within the system you can execute a revenue generation system or RGS to get to your results even faster. We'll cover that next week. Eric, thanks so much for joining me. Let me just remind everybody, if you want interested in the show, go to the Square 2 Marketing YouTube channel. All the episodes, season one and season two of What's Wrong with Revenue are posted there. We post new shows every Thursday. You can like us, you can subscribe to it, you can leave us comments. We really appreciate it. Thanks everybody who's done that in the past. If you're interested in the show, head on over to Square 2's free streaming service, Square 2 Plus, located at square2marketing.com/square2plus. All of our audio and video content is posted there on a regular basis, including all What's Wrong with Revenue shows from season one and season two. We have channels for CEOs, CROs, CMOs, and even a whole channel dedicated to the HubSpot technology platform. Go check it out. And last but not least, if you're into audio and podcasts, you can go to all your favorite podcast platforms, take a look at What's Wrong with Revenue, download it, and listen to us at your leisure. Eric, thanks so much for a great show. I'll catch you next week.
You got it. Take care.